Good morning. We have a very good number present. I'm very thankful that you've come and that you're here this morning, and we especially are grateful for all the visitors that are with us. You're always welcome, and we hope that you'll come back soon at your next earliest opportunity. I was away this past week in a meeting in Salem, Indiana, the West Side congregation there. I was there with them a couple of years ago and was able to be back with them last week. Had a very good meeting with a lot of interest in it, several visitors, and it turned out to be a very good week. And we were glad to be able to be with them. Good to be back again this morning. I appreciate all of those who taught in my absence, and it's always good to know that Luke is there and that he does an excellent job. Of course, took over my class period for me, and I appreciate that certainly as well. And Brian asked me yesterday what I was going to be preaching on this morning, and it was my full well intention to preach on God and the fact that there is one God, and we will be preaching about that this afternoon. I had some difficulty getting my projector on that lesson to work, so I'm going to have to do a little more adjustment on that this afternoon, try to get it ready for this afternoon. So I've switched to the lesson that I had planned for this afternoon called Are You Afraid of Yourself? But I do appreciate his thoughtfulness in planning the songs, and keep those in mind as we get to this afternoon, and we will pick up with that thought either with or without PowerPoint, whichever the case may be. But I want to talk about what I consider a little bit of an unusual lesson when I pose the question, are you afraid of yourself? Now, first of all, I'm going to pause for about 15 seconds, and I want you just to sit there and think for a moment. Now, that was only 15 seconds, but it was silent, and it's amazingly silent in here with all the babies. But I want you to think about, have you ever noticed how much we avoid silence and how uncomfortable silence can be? You know, even riding in a car, what do? Turn on a radio or something. Walking into the house, we may turn on a television. And if a conversation stops, we often may interject the first thing that comes into our mind. I know I've gotten myself in trouble by saying the first thing that came into my mind in a moment of silence. There's dead air on the radio. It's a disaster. You know, we think, what's wrong? There's no sound. You know, maybe we even have difficulty. We turn off the lights. We go to bed. Everything's so quiet. We say, I can't go to sleep. Turn on the TV. You know, we need some noise. It's just like silence scares us to a degree. It kind of unnerves us. And I think, you know, there's even a song entitled, a very popular song called The Sounds of Silence. And so I want to think about the fact that we very seldom really are alone with ourselves for whatever reason. And yet, in the Word of God, in the Bible, in many different places, He actually teaches us the value of quiet meditation. And there really is some positive benefits to that that I want to focus on and think about in this lesson this morning. And what we learn as we think about and look at the value of quiet meditation, I want you to think about the example, for instance, of Jesus when he often would go out and strive to be alone. And this was an individual who had a great deal of difficulty being alone, because wherever he went, the crowds would follow him. And no wonder, when he could heal them, feed the multitudes or whatever, Jesus had a great difficulty doing this, but he often sought this. And I want you to think about why. In Matthew chapter 1, or rather Mark chapter 1, and reading there in the 35th verse, we find an example of what I'm talking about. when he said, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight." Now there is the answer. How do you do that? How do you find alone time? Well, rise a long time before daylight and you'll find it. And that's what Jesus had to do that. He went out and departed to a solitary place. Just Jesus and the place, no one else. And there he prayed. He found some time to be alone. And Jesus was so alone that we find that the disciples themselves were having a problem finding him. Verse 36, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Couldn't find him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And as he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Then he talks about a leper came to him. Jesus knew that the day was going to be busy, that it was going to be pressing upon him, and he rises a long while before day and goes out in order to be alone. Now think about what did he gain by doing that? I think in this, Jesus removed all distractions. You know, there are times that we try to get things done and it's one thing after another that will distract us. We try to focus our attention and our time perhaps on things that are very important and the mundane day-to-day things will distract us. And Jesus knew that there were going to be many distractions for the day. So he finds a time and a place where he can be completely alone. He can just have a conversation with the Father. That was the second thing. It brought him closer to the Father. What is prayer for us? It is talking to God. It is communicating with God. But it takes time and effort. And we not only need prayer together, as we have done this morning in our assembly together with one another, and we don't only need prayer together with our families, we need prayer alone with God. But we have to work in order to get that time. Jesus sought that place and that opportunity, and so he removed the distractions around him, even other people that were distractions to him, and it allowed him to get closer to the Father. He wanted that. He needed that. And so do you and I need that. And it allowed him to focus squarely on what was important and what mattered at that moment. We're told in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And there are times that we get distracted, that we forget about what we are really here for. All of the issues of life, all of the distractions of life, the purpose behind our very existence. You know, I think we may get distracted to the point that we forget this life is only temporary. We're only here for a while. We're on a journey, but this is not home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we get distracted to the point that we forget to focus on maybe where we're going. And the fact that God gave us life so that we can serve Him and honor Him and bring glory to His name. I want you to think about how you begin your day compared to what Jesus did here. Getting up early and going out and being alone, finding that place of solitude. And I see here that Jesus, knowing what was ahead, he already had a purpose, he already had a plan, he knew where he was going, he knew what he was going to do, but he started with prayer. Is that how we begin our day? Or do we, I know that I've been guilty of just putting everything in gear, proceeding, then trying to plan, and then pray. Maybe after we proceeded and planned too late and made a mess, then we pray. Jesus did it in reverse. He prayed and then planned his day and then he proceeded. And I think we would do far better if we followed this example. If we found that time, that solitude to pray and to get the input again, from God, to have a conversation with Him, and then plan our day accordingly. In other words, how are we going to be in this day the best follower of Jesus Christ that we can be? And live the day giving glory to God in everything that we do and everything that we say. If we get our head on straight, if we think about what we're here for, what I can do with this day that God has blessed me with, and then proceed, how much more successful can we be in following here the example of the Son of God? Another example that we find, take your Bibles, if you will, and open to the book of Psalms. And I want you to read there with me in the 8th Psalm and think about David. David was a man that I think certainly understood meditation. And in part because the job that David had early on as a shepherd would have been one where he may have often found himself in solitude in the wilderness, perhaps with the sheep. But again, he would have understood this. And so it's very natural to read this 8th Psalm and beginning in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Now, imagine being the shepherd and being out in the middle of nowhere with your sheep and on a dark and starry night and you see the moon and you see the stars. You know, how long has it been since you've just been able to be out in a place where the stars were magnificently shining and you were able to sit and think about who made them and how they got there and the precision and the beauty of the universe? David was there considering this, the moon, the stars, and all of this. And then he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. And then he ends up saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The silence loudly proclaims the greatness of God and the smallness of man. That's what David gained when he was alone and he considered the universe of God and he meditated about it. And the more he thought about it, he thought about how great God is, how wonderful the world that he has made is. And then when he started considering the world and the immensity of the stars and the moon and all of these planets, and then he looks at himself and he says, what is man? And look at what you have done for man. Look at how you have exalted him and put all things under his feet. But what is man that you're even mindful that he's here? But you are. And then he proclaims the greatness of God in what he has made and what he has done for man. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. See the value that we can gain in this quiet meditation. But I think stillness, even though it scares us, this quietness with no sound, just an opportunity to meditate, while it's frightful in one way, it is attractive in another. It draws us, as it did to David, to things greater than ourselves. It gives us time to really reflect, to tell us a lot of things about God and ourselves. Now, we still need the Word of God to truly reveal our Heavenly Father, but we're told that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork, day into day, night into night. But how many days do we go at a time without thinking about the universe? Do we pause to look at the sunset, to appreciate it, and to realize who made it? Do we see the beauty of God's creation? It could have been made in just a plain and ordinary way, but it wasn't. The universe is amazing. And the more we are alone and we think about it and we meditate on these things, we see the greatness of God. But we also learn things as well about ourselves. It gives us time to reflect, time to realize what really is important Take your Bibles now and turn, if you would, to Psalm, the 46th Psalm. And I want to just read there verse 10 of Psalm 46. And here, the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, there are times that truly, God just says, "Be still." And there are times that that's what we need. We're too agitated, we're too torn and pulled in 100 directions at one time. And he just says, "Be still and focus on this. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And then when you turn over to the prophet Habakkuk, and you read there in chapter 2 of Habakkuk and verse 20, notice the statement there. The prophet says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." Again, we get wrapped up in this world and concerned about so many things here, and we may forget who's even overseeing this world and the greatness of Almighty God. And we'll focus more on that in our lesson this afternoon. How that, again, I am God and there's no other like me. But sometimes we need to be still. Sometimes we need to keep silent and just reflect on the greatness of God and the greatness of this world that He has created for us. What are the benefits of meditation? Of just taking time to reflect? Well, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, he teaches us how that we need to focus on the right priorities. We need to be thinking about the right things, taking the time to do that. Colossians 3 and verse 1, "If you then were raised with Christ," what is he saying? You're a Christian. You were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You were raised from the waters of baptism in Christ. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above." What does that require? Meditation. If you set your mind on something, you're taking the time to direct your thoughts in a certain way. If you just react to the world, it'll always give you something to think about. And not necessarily what you ought to be thinking about or what you really want to think about, but I'm sure that the world, it's like the world hates a vacuum. Just like silence is uncomfortable to us, it's like it's uncomfortable to the world. So 1,000 things will rush in to fill your mind and to fill your thinking. But he said, "You set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Why do I need to set my mind on things above? I live on the earth. Because you're trying to go to heaven. And you must not lose focus on the proper priorities, on what matters more than anything else in this world. And we don't need to live far away from heaven. We don't need to go days at a time without thinking about it, without focusing on it. If I'm willing to truly focus my mind on high and holy things, I will see all things differently in the spiritual light of God's Word. I will see the things that the people around me do not always see, that are truly important, as opposed to what is not nearly as important as we may often think about it. You know, there are a lot of things at times in life that will bring us back and make us refocus and think about things. I still remember the effect of the day of 9/11 and how it really shook a lot of people, and it brought them back to realize certain things are really not important and other things are very important. And sometimes it's things like that that help us refocus. But in the hustle and the bustle of life, and just getting by day, I can easily lose sight of things that really do matter. Things like, am I becoming more like Christ today? Am I really developing and putting on the traits and the characteristics of Jesus Christ? That's what I'm here for. He left me footsteps that I am to follow. So I've got to focus on what those are and focus on putting these in practice in my day-to-day life. And ask myself as I meditate, maybe at the end of the day, maybe at the beginning of the day, whatever works better. But will my choices today help me or hinder me in getting to heaven? How often do we think about that when choices confront us? Which way should I go if I want to go to heaven? Which way should I go if I want to avoid sin? If I want to be a good example to others? So important that we realize this. Have I been successful in this past week in becoming more like Christ? Quiet meditation takes our mind away from this sinful world that we live in with all of its distractions and lifts us up to nobler, better things. There's a song that has lyrics that go like this. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, lift me up to higher ground. Think about that. How do we do that? How do we, by faith, stand on heaven's tableland? Well, it's by meditation. We're not going to be there literally till we die and we go to the next world. Hopefully we will live there then. But we need to be able to stand on heaven's tableland now by the eye of faith. We do it through meditation on the Word of God and what He tells us about it. By thinking about it, wanting to go there, planning for it. You know, it's kind of like if, as a little child, you're told that this great trip is going, coming forward. You know, let's say that over the holidays, you're going to go to Disneyland. That child in their mind can just see themselves going there, and they think about it, and they dwell on it, and they can't wait for it. And as children of God, that's where we need to be. This needs to be what we're looking forward to, what we're planning for, what we want, and we think about it day and night and ask God, lift us up and let us stand on heaven's table land. The benefits of it, again, points us to proper priorities. It brings to us also peace of mind. There's nothing like, I'm convinced, genuine meditation that is talked about in God's Word to help us develop peace in the midst of the chaos that we live in. Turn to Psalm 119 and read with me there in this very long chapter from verse 97, where he said, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day." Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have other things that he had to think about, that it didn't involve having to deal with, but yet through it all, your law is my meditation all the day. We need to live lives like that, that we are so thoroughly familiar with the Word of God, that we dwell on it in our mind, in our thinking. When you go back to verse 165 of this same psalm, he said, "Great peace have those who love your law." And then notice, nothing causes them to stumble. Why should we meditate on the law of God? Because we have great peace from it, and we overcome the sin that so easily ensnares us and tries to destroy us. Meditate on the law of the Lord, because it will bring peace of mind. It will strengthen us, help us overcome. And so ask yourself this, what have you meditated on this last week? What's been the meditation of your mind over this past week? And then did it bring you peace of mind? I want you to think about all of the things that come our way in a week's time. What about television shows that you have watched? Did they uplift you? Did they bring you peace? Did they shove homosexuality and filthy language and illicit sexual activity down your throat? Does that make us stronger or better? What about the depressing daily news? You know, I'm guilty at times of starting out watching things that I think, why did I need that? What, you know, what good did that do for me today? And the daily chores of routine maintenance of life. How much time do we spend meditating with God? Not just in services, but meditating on His Word. How often do we read it? And not just read it to say, I read through my Bible. Did we meditate on it? Did we digest it? Did we take it in? How many minutes did we spend with God in prayer compared to minutes we spent meditating on the world? And so I ask you sincerely, do you think that the amount of time you spent in such activities will affect your mental state, will affect your peace of mind? I think most all of us can use a much larger dose of prayer and meditation with God and a little less dose of what the world tries to get us to meditate on. Think about the value and what we can find from it. We can find protection from sin, which we all need as children of God. Go back to Psalm 119 again. This time, read with me in verse 9, where it focuses again on the power of the Word of God, what it is able to do for us. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can we as a young, how can any young person in this world overcome sin? Easy, by taking heed according to your word. Meditate on the Word of God. Become familiar with the Word of God. And then he said, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your words. So again, there's the value. It's protection from sin. In order to have any strength whatsoever in your physical body, you have to do what? You have to take in food. And then when you take in food, you have to digest food. If you don't digest it, there is no strength. There's no value in what you just ate. To eat the most nutritious dinner in the world and then vomit it up. Sorry about that. But to eat it and then vomit it up, you get no good from it. It's not going to help you. Likewise, just reading the Word of God or hearing the Word of God, going away and forgetting about it, not meditating on it, you're not going to get any value from it. Just hearing it will not help you. You've got to take it in. James 1, verses 21 and 22 says, the engrafted Word is able to save our soul. The engrafted Word. What is an engrafting? Think about how two tree parts, the root and the stock of another tree, are grafted together. They become one. They start growing together. What looked like two pieces now is joined and it grows together. Think about then taking the Word of God into your heart and in your life, and it's engrafted in you. It grows in you. It helps you develop as a child of God. That's what we've got to have. That's what the Word of God and meditating on it can do for us. Any meditation is to the heart what digestion is to the body. It gives strength. It gives resistance from sin. So frequently in our lives, temptation comes disguised as something that is attractive and alluring. And we meditate on that and we think about that and we give place to that. And we're taught to give no place to the devil. Don't meditate. Don't think about it. Don't plan on, premeditate on how to sin. Let the Word of God dispel that from you. We need to, this is the very reason that we need to memorize Scripture. And we work on it. Because when Jesus faced the devil one-on-one, his defense was, it is written. But if we don't know what is written, when we get there, when we're fighting the enemy in hand-to-hand combat, we don't have the tools that we need to overcome the enemy. That comes through knowledge of God's Word, meditating on, thinking about the Word of God. It gives us power in adversity, which we all face. Our lives are filled with it. Psalm 119, verse 23, princes also sit and speak against you, but your servant meditates on your statutes. He's talking about facing the enemy and meditating on the Word of God. There's going to be times when we are the recipients of unjust attacks and unfair criticism. But we don't have to be crushed about that. We don't have to be destroyed by it. Instead of brooding about his troubles, Jesus, again, meditated on and quoted Scripture, even from the cross. While many were hurling insults at Jesus, he quoted Scripture from David in Matthew 27, 46, and again in Luke 23 and verse 46. Jesus quoted the Word of God. He didn't come up with anything original. He simply quoted what had been his meditation all along, the Word of God. And he shows us that truth is always stronger than lies. And the child of God is stronger than any adversary. We do not walk alone, knowing that in the Word of God, Jesus promises us that he would never leave us or forsake us. And he is our example today, teaching us not to be bitter about our problems, but rather to see them as opportunities to draw on the limitless resources of our Heavenly Father. What else does meditation do for us? It gives us wisdom for our daily lives. Wisdom that is so needed. Psalm 119, again, is just filled with ideas here that help us on this. Psalm 119, verse 99. Here he says, "For I have more understanding than all my teachers." Why? Your testimonies are my meditation. How can we be wiser than all the teachers in the world? Go to the great master teacher. Meditate on his word. And he makes us wiser than those so-called wise men in this world. Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients." How? "Because I keep your precepts." The wisdom of God is there for the taking. Application of Bible principles comes only after we have spent time meditating on God's practical wisdom in the Scripture. The Bible reveals the thoughts, the choices, the actions of thousands of people who have faced all of the same circumstances that you'll face in this life. You may think that this is just an old, ancient book and it's out of date, but it couldn't be further from the truth. Everything you're facing, even including new technological challenges, men have faced before us, and the answers are there in the Word of God. The greatest book in the world for a manual for living our daily lives. And in the end, it is an important element for spiritual success. If you want something that will help you to be spiritually strong and successful, meditate on the law of the Lord. Go back again, if you will, to the book of Joshua. And I want to read there from chapter 1, the challenge that God gave to Joshua when he appointed him as a leader. Chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." All right, isn't that what we all want? That we may prosper wherever we go. Now that, you know, some they look at that in a physical, financial way. I think he's looking at it spiritually and eternally. But ultimately, we want to prosper by being able to go to heaven. But here's what he says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Isn't that what everybody is after? You want to make your way prosperous. You want to have good success. He gives you the answer. Meditate on the law of the Lord. Don't deviate from it to the right or to the left. So I end the lesson by asking you the same question. Are you afraid of yourself? Are you afraid to be alone? In complete silence, just you and God? To see yourself as you really are? To see yourself as God sees you? To spend time alone with God? Meditation is the road to self-improvement, to peace of mind, and to eternal life. Denying our sins and weaknesses will not change them or get rid of them, and it will not cause God to remove them. But this is the beginning of the way to see ourselves as God sees us, which is exactly what we need more than anything so that we can honestly do things to change our situation and to make ourselves in the right relationship with God. If you look deeply into your heart and your life this morning and you realize that you're not in a right relationship with God, you don't like what you see when you look in the mirror and you're honest with yourself, you live with a guilty conscience, you can remedy that. You can have a better life. It starts by focusing on what really matters, what we're really here for, to fear God and keep His commandments. If you haven't done that, you need to respond to heaven's invitation this morning. We're ready to assist and to help you, and we pray that you will come while we stand and sing to encourage you.